This is a Roundtable Rewind.
Okay, so what are we, May 4th, 2021? May 4th of 2020. We talk about kind of the lull in sports, or at least the lull in our sports calendar. There wasn't anything going on May 4th, 2020.
You will talk about making magic.
I really don't remember what we talked about.
I don't either.
I'm surprised we got through it, but we actually had... I was more surprised that we got through it because we did... I thought we did some good shows without anything to talk about. Because everything was... It was a new story every day about this is going to be pushed. Remember, baseball ain't ever coming back.
Never coming back. Now it's stronger than ever. Yeah. In fact, it was such a good show on May 4th. We're going to replay it for you. No, I'm just kidding.
Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. It's a rerun.
Replay it for you
today. Well, amazing. The NBA was the first to come back for us, and I think we embraced it for a while.
When was that?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, that was back when LeBron liked the play-in game.
Before he thought he was going to be in it.
He had to be in
That's
it.
Right. Back when I could stomach LeBron a little bit.
For you peasants that have to play in that 7, 8, 9, 10 matchup.
Good for the league. Tournament.
Oh, it's exciting. It's like the college game that I never got to play.
It is pretty remarkable. Probably over the history of our show, like how we've been together, 11 years?
Mm-hmm.
I think... There are probably a top five list of questions I get asked the most. I don't know if it's the same for you guys. One of them, honestly, is what is Rockstar really like? And I know, Rockstar, you think I'm making that up, but I get asked that a lot. Well, what's that Rockstar really like? Because you're probably the least visible and most mysterious person on the show.
Exactly.
And exactly the way you want it.
You're our Batman.
No, I think you really are, because it's become, you know, there was a day, and you guys remember this, and I remember the first time I heard Randy Armistead and Lee Davis on the air.
Yeah, you wonder what they look like.
Yeah, you try to visualize.
Absolutely.
And you know, Rockstar, people can find you on the internet now, but if you were more active social media-wise, if you were really out there on Twitter, that question probably wouldn't get posed as much.
But I think that's the way you want it, Rockstar. You kind of want to be...
Yeah, well, it's fun to see people that are shocked to see what you look like. I thought you'd have like long hair and black fingernails.
Well, this is why so many people show up for your gigs.
Long hair and black
fingernails. That's a total opposite thing. They really don't.
So that's one question I get asked. Now, since we moved to mornings, what time do you get up? I get asked that a lot.
Yeah, I do too, yeah.
How much show prep do you guys do? Like, what's your show prep like? Do you get, you know, do you get up in the morning and... You know, just read all the stuff or whatever.
Yeah, do you ever get, is your show scripted?
Yeah, I get that all the time. Is your show scripted? And that's one of the most baffling ones, because I'm like, you literally listen to our show and think this is scripted? Have you heard how many things we screw up and how often we get stuck talking about our favorite foods? And later on, Lance is going to tell us the worst travel experience he's ever had, which for Lance...
No, ever.
...is a high bar. But I think last year, Dunaway, about this time, are we going to have football season? Took over as the most asked question I have ever had associated with the show. I mean, everywhere I went, people were asking me, you think we're going to have football season?
Well, I think because of the longevity of what was going on and such an unknown and something that was unprecedented in the history of our world.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere I went last year, you think we're going to have football season?
I think you had to. You had to always keep hope alive this time last year that we would have football season. And we ended up doing it. And for Alabama fans, it was one of the greatest seasons of all time. For SEC fans, seeing an all-SEC schedule, it was a blast. And for the National Football League, I thought it was a great year. Just a great year to get back out there. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Lance, but Brownie and I agree that the fact that Roger Goodell and his guys and women found a way to have that season last year from the draft on was so important to a lot of Americans. I think it turned the tide on his likability as a commissioner. I know at one point in the history of our show, Goodell was the most hated man in sports, maybe. And I think that tide has totally turned. The way he handles the draft now, how he down-dresses through the rounds. He starts off with coat and tie. Then it's no tie for the second night. Then he's practically in a sweater on the final night.
Gym shorts and a T-shirt. Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. We didn't miss a game in the NFL last year.
I know. It's amazing.
And really, what became polarizing once we got back into sports were how political sports had become. And, you know, the NFL had that label before we ever went into a pandemic with the kneeling for the anthem. And I thought the NFL, they were really helped by the way everything was set up going into the national anthem last year. And the NFL seemed like the furthest removed from being political last year. So I think that really helped Goodell.
Yeah, other than the coaches on the sidelines wearing a mask and nobody in the stands. I mean, those are two big things to look past. The NFL was the one that felt the most normal. I mean, really, that felt like the most normal setup we've ever had.
Yeah, even more so than college football.
Yeah, no, the NFL felt more normal than college football. College football was missing because the NFL had some sort of uniformity of, hey, we're going to play some crowd noise just so people watching on TV feel like there's a crowd there. There wasn't that uniformity in college football. And to me, college football, the crowd is more noticeable.
Right. Cheerleaders, college bands, mascots.
Yeah, and you didn't have any of that stuff, yeah.
And when you did, it was up in the stands. It just didn't look the same.
Yeah, it wasn't the same.
It was socially spaced. But the biggest story in sports right now is going to be Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he will end up playing for the Green Bay Packers ever again. And this is floating around. Rockstar, if you'll give me Adam Schefter to cut number two here.
Is he excited about this breaking news?
He's not as excited as some of the some of the other stuff he's reported last week, but... You know, Adam's a little tired coming off the draft, like a lot of the NFL people is, but he's following the Aaron Rodgers story. And basically, guys, we sit here, you know, about a month away from the OTAs in the first part of June, and Aaron Rodgers has only a couple of choices, according to Schefter, but he thinks the cards are all in favor of Rodgers right now, and Schefter's one of the few people that believe that.
I believe that Aaron Rodgers has got the leverage. And so if he is prepared to sit, I believe he will get what he wants. If he's not, he'll be playing there in Green Bay. The issue is there's a rift. Each of them has flown out west and met with him, and nothing has changed his mind so far. What is going to change his mind? Does he say, you know what, I love football and I love my teammates too much to turn my back on them. I'm going to go play this 1 year and then one out. Or he's just going to say, I'm not going in. I'm not showing up. I'm going the Carson Palmer route, and you deal with it, and you handle it how you want.
So the option is you go or you don't go. Sending out says power, but that can get expensive, right? He can start getting fined for missing OTAs and all the mandatory events. You can start getting fined $50,000 a day, which can start stacking up on you.
And I'm assuming that paycheck was showing up too, right?
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, I mean
there's
if
some fines first, but eventually. Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting out, I doubt Green Bay continues to mail the check every, you know, the 1st and 15th of every month.
Okay, let's not forget he's worth $120 million.
He's got some money.
He does get an off-season workout bonus of $500,000. The only guy that is actually in the virtual off-season workout voluntary session is Jordan Love right now. The only, what seems to be, happy quarterback on that roster.
The Packers' day one starter right now.
Hey, guys.
Good
morning, Rockstar.
Good morning.
Hey, if I'm leaning, I think Jordan Love is going to end up starting for the Packers. I think the Packers are going to end up being like a 5-11 team right now.
Oh, dear.
Wait. You think Jordan Love starts with the Packers and Tyrod Taylor starts for the Texans?
I do.
Man, we're slipping. Yeah. We're slipping in the quarterback room.
Yes, we are.
Well, I guess there's a possibility the Texans could make a play for Aaron Rodgers. It looks like the destination is going to be the Denver Broncos. And you look at what Denver didn't do at number 9, having the opportunity to go Mac Jones or Justin Fields. They decide to go with Surtain, and it looks like, you know, they think they've got a realistic shot at getting Aaron Rodgers.
But I'll say this again. I know that Schefter thinks he's got the leverage, and Schefter, A, is way more connected in the NFL than me.
But he's not in the majority.
Yeah, and knows more NFL than I'll ever know. But to me, if I'm the Packers, what I'm counting on is Aaron Rodgers is a competitive-driven guy. And hosting Jeopardy, which he's not going to get that job, but hosting Jeopardy isn't going to fulfill that drive for him.
I think it could have for one season.
Maybe. But this guy is driven. He's at the top of his game. He wants rings. Not a ring, rings. So that's what I'm counting on as the Packers. This guy's not going to walk away from football. He's too driven to do that. Now, might I have to trade him? Yeah. But the prospect of him just saying, hey, I'm done sitting out, going full Barry Sanders here, I don't think the Packers go to bed worrying about that for 1 minute.
Yeah, we can never forget, though, the weirdness of Aaron Rodgers. He's an eccentric, different guy.
He is. But, Lance, I just don't think you are as successful as he is and get as far as he's gotten without being super driven.
Well, I think he is driven, but at the same time, he is maybe the most talented quarterback we've ever seen.
Maybe so.
I mean, he's that good. He's precision. There's not a weakness in his game. You know, right now I think people have been maybe underwhelmed because he's only got one championship.
You know, what if he took a year off, LT? And now, keep in mind, they've got another year under contract, so that wouldn't necessarily force the Packers to release him. But if he shuts it down for an entire year, at some point the Packers are going to be like, okay, we've only got one more year to force this to happen. We may try to get something for him here. I mean, if he takes a year off, the way training is now, a year off of throwing for your arm, he may come back stronger than ever with taking 1 year off and we're at the destination he wants to be at.
Well, he won't turn 38 until the final month of the regular season in 2021. And you think about it, you just had a quarterback that won a championship at 43. Yeah. And I don't know about you, Aaron Rodgers is, I don't want to say light years better than Tom Brady right now, but this is your reigning MVP.
That's right.
And he is a much better quarterback than Tom Brady. So to me, Aaron Rodgers has got at least 5 years left.
How much do you think he worries about, though, Jim, his image in doing that? I mean, he would have to become a full clear free agency. A free agent, he'd have to not play for 2 years.
He pouts. He doesn't worry about his image.
Yeah, you don't think so?
Talk to his family.
I got asked last night, why does LT dislike Aaron Rodgers so much? And I was like, does he dislike Aaron Rodgers? I hear him pound on a lot of athletes and a lot of coaches on a regular basis. I've never really thought of you disliking Aaron Rodgers. I just always have thought you've been honest about the public part of some of his personal life.
Well, I just think his likability. I mean, how many? He's a polarizing guy.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Packers fan, if you appreciate great football, you know, there are people that, you know, obviously I've always said I respect his game. There's just an unlikable quality about Aaron Rodgers. And then you start to learn more and more about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. He really seems like a me first guy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you guys are right. Maybe he spends zero time worrying about how the public views him, but the public will not like this move. I mean, I think generally if you make this move, you become a villain.
Well, don't you make this – here's my question for you guys. I go back to the 2020 draft, and when you take Jordan Love in the first round, when you know you need weapons for him, I mean, Devontae Adams had 82 more receptions than any other player on that roster last year. You needed more weapons. Aaron Jones ended up being a good player, but if – Aaron Rodgers really wants to take control of this situation. Do it behind the scenes before the 2020 draft. Get involved and say, hey, look, if we don't make some moves to help out this offense, I'm not going to be around.
I mean, the stat is legit, right? They've never drafted a first-round offensive skill player.
Yeah,
right? since he's
been on the roster.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time. But I just, again, on his image, I just think – the American public generally, if you're getting paid a lot of money, expects you to show up. And when you don't, you become a villain. Now, whatever franchise ends up with him will gladly look past that because he's a tremendous player. And I guess the other aspect will be how much of his skill does he lose if he sits out for 2 years? Is it any at all? I mean, like, how long did Michael Vick sit out before he came back to Philadelphia? It was about 2 years,
right?
Yeah,
it was at least 2 years.
And if Vick was 100 at Atlanta, what was he with Philadelphia?
75?
Yeah, probably.
You know,
he's still a really good quarterback.
Yeah, the game had changed a little bit.
Yeah. Did you see Damian tweeted this? Michael Vick at age 40 still ran a 4.7 40. That's
I believe that.
That's pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, you know, with Tim Tebow coming back maybe to play tight end,
mm-hmm.
if Michael Vick at 40, with that kind of speed, could find just being such a great athlete, could find a role on a team.
God, he was such an electric player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– Could he be a role player, a Deion Sanders player on a baseball team? Because, you know, when you're an athlete, like, I mean, he's the quarterback in the NFL, the guy that was packing the Georgia Dome at one time. What other sports could he be good at still?
He was 15 years too early, man. The way the NFL has changed now with all these RPOs and things, can you imagine a guy like Michael Vick playing in the league?
You know, his biggest, I guess, criticism was the inconsistency on the accuracy. But now with a lot of the dinking and dumping.
It's such easy passes. Yeah. He was throwing more difficult passes.
Yep.
Oh, he'd be phenomenal right now.
And with the rules set up to where you can
hit quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you can do some things to make people think it's run or pass and it ends up being a run. The rules have sort of favored Michael Vick now.
I mean, imagine how good Charlie Ward never would have played for the Knicks.
Oh, no. God, Charlie Ward in this era of football, Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, there would have been some great
ones. My gosh.
But Aaron Rodgers is that type of quarterback right now. And I just, the timing of this whole thing is so weird. And I think it shows you, you know, not only how disgruntled he is, how much he really does not like, how much dissension is in that organization right now.
I got bad news for Rockstar, too.
Golly.
You want to do that here?
We can.
You got to
now. Sex voice.
I mean, you brought this up. Go ahead.
Chuck E. Cheese is on the ropes, Rocky.
I felt my ankle monitor go off.
The according to Food and Wine magazine, the popular children's restaurant is nearly $1 billion in debt, according to the Wall Street Journal. And they're looking at bankruptcy and perhaps just shutting down the whole operation.
Boy, the upset there is they made Food and Wine magazine.
Yeah, it's a crazy place to break this story.
Well, I'm trying to think, because that was the heyday of my childhood. Every birthday was there. So what do kids' birthdays are these days?
I saw one over the weekend for a very young girl who the kids were at a gymnastics studio where they tumbled and did a bunch of things with parachutes.
I think everything's getting so extravagant, like these gender reveals.
Yeah, gender reveals. You have to outdo the other person.
I saw one on Saturday, and when we get into my travels, I can bring this up, but I was completely blown away that we have a gender reveal in another country.
Yeah, I think that is pretty crazy. I'm with you, Jim. They've gotten a little more creative because when I was a kid, it was either skate country and sax or a pool party. I mean, that was pretty much those are the two things. If a kid had a pool, they'd do a pool party. If they didn't have a pool, you pretty much did skate country.
Yeah, for any of the Over the Mountain kids, and Rockstar would remember this, the McDonald's on Green Springs.
Had a downstairs.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And I think like the Hamburglar, or you could like randomly, one of the mascots would show
so
up.
So awesome.
But that and Holiday Skate Center, which is now next to the Sonic Huron Valley.
Well, everybody had the skate party. I mean, I think every community had access to a skate arena or whatever you call it, skating rink. So you always had that option.
Yeah, and Farrell's was big in Brookwood Mall, too.
Yeah, see, we just didn't have a lot over in Anniston.
You had Quintard. What about the Orange Julius? Couldn't you roll some chairs up?
That was in Gadsden Mall, the Orange Julius.
Yeah, Farrell's was a good place to go. That was fantastic.
Yeah, but kids' birthday party. Like my daughter, you know, she takes Taekwondo. Shout out to Master Scarcella. And she had her party there, and the kids loved it, man. Every kid gets to break a board. That's a pretty cool birthday party.
Yeah, but Chuck E. Cheese, that was part of our childhood. Now it's dying. I mean, showbiz days.
Yeah. I would imagine that the pandemic, when nobody was going, that they foot traffic was pretty important for them. You got to be jumping the balls and throwing those ski balls.
No doubt.
I don't think
anybody's going to get takeout pizza at Chuck E. Cheese. I think most restaurants survived on the takeout business.
I don't know if you guys remember this. One of the saddest things I saw, it was probably about May of last year, where you're driving down Highway 280. And there were handmade signs to pick up pizza and wings from Chuck E. Cheese. And
that made
me really, really feel bad.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I wanted to go get some because so many happy moments have happened there for so many kids.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, I didn't follow through on that. But can you imagine being the guy at Chuck E. Cheese like, okay, here's our plan to get out of $1 billion of debt. I mean, you can't make that plan, right? $1 billion in debt? How are you going to do that with Chuck E. Cheese? The pizza's, $5 a head?
You know,
there's no way you can erase $1 billion of debt.
I don't know if we could find this in the archives of Food and Wine magazine, but Little Caesars reinvented themselves.
Oh, yeah. They did.
And I think they were about to die, and I could be completely wrong.
No, I think you're right.
But, you know, just picking up that quick to go, and I don't know about you guys, but when my daughter was, 9, 10 years old and used to have friends over and parties, I would go through that drive-through at the gas station over right off of Highway 280. And that's all they wanted was a couple of Little Caesars pizzas and a 2-liter, and they were content. It was like $11.
Oh,
yeah. Great babysitting is what that was. Just swing through there. Well, while we're talking food and everything here, I've got a story. I was going to give it to Brown off the air, but I'll give it to him now. Brown is starting to lose this is like a major moment in any war throughout history. Brown is losing a major foothold on the battle to keep meat on the menu. One of the more
I've got it in trash.
Do you really?
Yeah.
This story, well, I'll save it then. Because this is one of the more recognized restaurants in the world.
Oh, no, maybe not then. So we've got a new study about men and meat.
No, this is...
Okay, give me this restaurant. So they're going meatless?
11 Madison Park is one of the more recognized menus and chefs and, culinary locations on the planet. And they announced yesterday they are going... almost completely vegan. The only non-vegan items they'll have will be milk and cream and honey for your tea and milk. Everything on the menu will be plant-based, either from the land or the sea, are beans and weeds and stuff like that.
Weeds.
Yeah.
I'll take
it. A nice selection of weeds.
You got any ragweed salad?
Yeah. So that's it. They're taking meat off the menu, man.
Well, I'm looking for their menu and I can't find it. I'm on their website, Jim. I'd like to see what their menu looks like.
11 Madison Park, but it's a high-end place, dollar-wise.
I'm looking at it, yeah.
$335 for the tasting menu. And no meat on that tasting menu, bro.
This tastes like weeds.
I could spend $35 back in the day when Brazilian restaurants were really popular, $35, and just go eat all the meat you want.
Man. Meat on a stick. Meat on a stick. Hanging everywhere. Now, do you just need the texture or you got to actually have the meat?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I need the meat. Because no meat, no meal.
Did you ever try the Impossible Burger, though?
I did not, because it got debunked that all they did is take the fat from the meat and cram it in there to make it taste right.
No, I'm not saying the Impossible Burger was necessarily healthy for
you. No, I did not try one.
It was meat-free, and I remember bringing two guys kind of like Brown that said, hey, look, there's no way that we're not going to be able to tell the difference. They tried the Impossible Burger. They liked the Impossible Burger better.
Yeah.
Better.
Well, yeah, it's got a bunch of meat fat in it. Of course they did.
I don't know if it's better. I know it's not any healthier, so I chose not to even try it.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah. I never even tried it. Once I was comparing calories and fat and all that, I was like, why if I'm going to eat it, I'll just go double cheeseburger instead of a double Impossible Burger. Anyway, there you go, Brown. One of the most well recognized restaurants on the planet, going all vegan.
One day we'll be doing the same story on them I just did on Chuck E. Cheese, Jim.
Yeah. Now, what is the point though? Is it something about the emissions and
yeah? It's just the meat industry and the footprint the meat industry leaves on the planet, they're going all vegan.
Yeah, well.
If George Orwell's The Jungle couldn't destroy it, I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah. My question, if we're going totally vegan and everybody only starts eating plants and such, won't we
run out of plants?
Eventually run out of plants, too?
Yeah. So it's
well, they can come up here if we can harvest behind us here at the Goodwin Crest Studios.
Can you eat kudzu?
I mean, all of a sudden, I don't want to be fighting the cows and the goats for dinner. You know, and not be able to eat one of them.
Oh, by the way, we're going to have cows everywhere if we quit killing them. Yeah. They're not going to quit reproducing, are they?
They'll become the feral kids of the feral hogs of the next century.
Yeah, I'm going to say we probably haven't calculated your question there, Jim. That this all sounds good in principle, but nobody stopped to think about what you're just talking about. Like, well, we're going to have probably like quadruple the cows because we're going to quit killing them. They're going to eat the plants. And now we're all eating the plants. Where are the plants going to come from?
There's always a yin and a yang. Isn't
yes, there is
a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah. Yes, all right. We didn't consider this, but our bad.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. 6:31 on the roundtable part of our show today, being brought to you by the great folks at Bryant Bank. As you move into a new year, whether in the business sense or mentally into the spring and summer, it's time to think about a collaborative banking partner, somebody that can walk business-wise with you hand-in-hand, but also for personal needs. That's Bryant Bank. You can find a location near you, bryantbank.com/location. Good local bank that is there to help you make some of the more important decisions of your life. Bryant Bank, bryantbank.com, your collaborative local banking partner. College football news yesterday. It is a time where transfers are happening. None bigger than Texas linebacker Juwan Mitchell, who leaves the Longhorns to join the Tennessee Volunteers. All Juwan Mitchell did last year was lead Texas in tackles. And he's out the door from Austin to Knoxville, Tennessee. Pretty big get there for Josh Heupel's crew there in Knoxville.
Yeah, it is a big get. And you wonder, is Sarkisian, the focus on offense, already running defensive guys off? I'm kind of kidding about that. But this is kind of strange that, you know, you got a guy that was so entrenched in that program, and now he's going to – I mean, Texas has got an outside shot just based on talent and new scheme of making a lot of noise in the Big 12 and making a run this year. Tennessee, we talked about it last week, they're going to be one of the – worst three teams in the SEC, more than likely.
I did think, though, this used to be the story of insert player's name leaves Tennessee for Texas. It is kind of weird, and I'm not saying this will continue, but it is kind of weird seeing Tennessee get a guy, right, like this. I mean, it used to go the other way. Tennessee has not had... they've not had the best last two decades, basically.
Yeah.
And so to see them getting a guy like this, that's kind of a welcome addition.
Yeah, and if you're Juwan Mitchell, I don't think you're afraid that you're going to lose playing time because Ben Davis transfers in.
I would not think so. That's Ben Davis right. couldn't scare the field in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I mean, played in 21 games, but not the expectations for Ben. So there's a good get for Heupel, who seems to be, you know, slowly but stopping the downward trend of his time in Knoxville. Did not go in and get off to a really good start there. Things went a little sideways, but he seems to have put the brakes on that coming out of spring and is starting to build a little bit. Got a quarterback commitment, four-star quarterback commitment for his future. He picked up a number of portal quarterbacks, and now you're getting a transfer guy coming in from Texas who led the Horns in tackles last year. Some positive news coming out for him.
Well, and it just seems like the expectation is so different for this program. I don't know about you guys, but when Jeremy Pruitt, you know, took it over, I think a lot of people took a step back. Wow, Phil Fulmer's going with an Alabama guy. Could this be the next that Nick Saban assistant that is really going to work out? So I think the expectations were we need to start winning, you know, 9, 10, 11 games in the next 2 or 3 years. For Heupel, feels like to me he's going to be given 3 or 4 years, and there is zero expectation. If they were to go 6-6, this fan base would be elated this year.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, I don't have any confidence in Josh Heupel as a head football coach. If they go 6-6, it's a huge win for them. I don't know what he's going to be long term. You still don't know if he's going to have his hands even more tied than he already does. I don't know if the end of the Pruitt era is going to come back to haunt Tennessee. So, I mean, I think it's one of the great unknowns to me, Josh Heupel at Tennessee. I don't have a ton of expectation for it, but it is an unknown. I mean, I got absolutely no idea what to expect long term. I mean, honestly, what I expect, Jim, is they're changing coaches again in 4 years or 5 years.
Ryan writes in, Packers have picked a defensive player in the first round, 9 of the last 10 drafts. The only offensive player, Jordan Love, we were talking about
that. And traded up to get him.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier in the first segment, the disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers continuing throughout the day. And as Paul points out, the Jaguars literally drafted an offensive player to help out Trevor Lawrence, their new quarterback, in the first round of their very first draft.
Yeah, and they didn't get the guy they wanted in Kadarius Toney, but they go ETN. They were going to find a weapon. And, you know, offensive players were taken with the first 7 picks, obviously, in this draft. And that's the first time since 1967, or the first time in the common draft it's ever happened. I mean, this was an offensive draft.
But it is not as if Aaron Rodgers plays with nobody. I mean, we make it out like he's got no offensive weapons and they never draft him.
Yeah, but Brown, he makes
I mean, they're not great.
He makes them so much better.
He does. But Aaron Jones is a solid running back.
No, again, but how good would Aaron Jones be without?
I don't know.
I think Devontae Adams would be good. I watched him at Fresno
State. Yeah, Devontae Adams is a really good player.
Alan Lazard was a good player.
Randall Cobb was a good player for them.
Yeah, but these guys wouldn't be nearly as good without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, just compare who Aaron's throwing to who Tom Brady's throwing to.
Aaron throws to better guys. Oh, you mean at Tampa? Yeah. I thought you were talking about New England.
Yeah, current.
Oh, no. At Tampa, Tom Brady throws to better guys, yes. But at New England, he didn't.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes throws to better guys.
Oh, there's no doubt Patrick Mahomes does.
So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm the MVP. Those two teams are in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. No, I get his argument, but I also, you know, we act as if he's got nobody to throw to. And I don't think that's the case either. I mean, they've got players.
Yeah, I will tell you, again, this is Aaron Rodgers just being really disgruntled. You never heard a word from Drew Brees. And look, he had Michael Thomas, which you can make an argument, is, you know, at least a top three guy for a minute was probably the best.
Yeah, Marcus Colston, who was a complete find in the draft.
But, you know, I mean, Devontae Adams is still a top 10 guy. And, you know, that was really the only weapons. Now, obviously, Kamara's coming to the fold a little bit or a lot. But it's not like he's had a ton of weapons.
I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is not exactly a household name at receiver. I'll grant you that one. But, I mean, I'm just saying we treat it as if he's throwing to the guys Brady was throwing to in New England, and that's not exactly the case either.
Yeah, but, I mean, some of those guys for Brady's system in New England, whether it was Edelman or Armadola at times, or you know,
Armadola. It's like he's an animal.
Amendola.
Put him on his back, he's done.
No, but to put in perspective,
another Armadola.
You know, you go out, you get Amari Rodgers in the third round, the 85th overall pick for Green Bay this year. Amari Rodgers will start for Green Bay
as a third rounder.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, you know, you wait till the third round, and I'm, you know, 37 years old to go get me a secondary.
All right, here's one of those statements I make that I'm going to get a ton of tweets, people disagreeing. Devontae Adams, the only receiver, not tight end, the only receiver that Brady ever had at New England better than Devontae Adams was Randy Moss. True or false?
Randy Moss was, so you start
right
there.
No, 100% okay. Randy Moss was.
I think you can start to put Julian Edelman in that mix. I would lean Devontae Adams as a better overall talent.
So he's probably number two of that group. If we go the group of Brady receivers at New England and Rodgers receivers at Green Bay, Devontae Adams is probably number two.
Probably, yeah.
And Randy Moss played 1 year with Brady?
Yeah, but see, now you're again, threading a needle.
And Greg Jennings was good.
I mean, it's receptions, so you can't take out Gronkowski. You can't take out Hernandez. I mean, you're doing that. You can't take that out. Aaron Rodgers has never had a Rob Gronkowski.
He had Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams, better or worse than Gronk?
Oh, Gronk.
Gronk's better.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two.
Yeah.
Now, again, Randy Moss played 1 year. Yeah, let's go treat it like Randy Moss was there full term.
And I really don't think – guys remember Tom Brady bitching and complaining about weapons?
I do not.
Again, this is another reason that Aaron Rodgers is such a polarizing guy.
Devontae Adams better than Aaron Hernandez, though.
Yes. I mean, Aaron Hernandez had a lot on his plate.
There were a lot of things going on.
A lot of extracurricular.
Moving parts all over the place.
Right. His day timer was full. I mean,
typically you don't have a serial killer on your roster. When you do, it's going to – they will tend to lose focus, I would assume.
Typically, you don't have a serial killer on your roster.
Hard to get them motivated at
practice. Man, I am watching a show right now about a serial killer that's based on a true story in the 70s. Have you guys seen The Serpent?
I have not, on Netflix? Lance, no. The stuff you find on Netflix. Lance has a different Netflix than me.
You know what happens?
You need to check out Serpent.
Okay.
Is your Netflix logo, mine's red. Is yours black?
It's got horns.
Does it have flames coming out?
I will tell you, I had too many, I guess, toxins in my body, and I was trying to, on this flight, which I know we'll get to in a little bit, I had downloaded this, it's a Japanese crime thriller. It's one season of Netflix.
How do you find these things? Well, I mean, Japanese crime thriller?
It loads it up for you, Brown. Once you watch one, then you get six other things like that one.
God,
and
Lance
then you watch another, and now you've got 12 other things like that.
Lance is that part that says suggested based on watching such and such probably would give all of us cold chills.
You know the Yakuza, right? The Japanese version of the Mafia.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so this is what the background is, and one of their main hitmen, he was presumed dead, and he's now in London helping out an organized family there.
Right.
And so his brother, who's a cop out of Tokyo, has got to go find him. But it's really violent. I'm only one episode in. It looks really good, though.
Yeah.
It's all subtitles.
Subtitles, of
meanwhile,
course,
Netflix loading up one Kristen Bell romantic comedy after another for me.
I get uncomfortable watching that stuff on a flight. Like, I watched – the only time I've ever seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall was on a flight.
Yeah.
And there were kids behind me.
Yeah.
That can be uncomfortable.
I thought the –
Did you read the Yakuza chopping off heads?
Just a couple of swords here.
Look, kids.
If I asked you this question, a hot take coming from the NFL draft. LT, you weren't here on Monday, and we saved this for you through the day yesterday. One thing that popped out from the NFL draft that you would put into a hot take category, what would it be?
The NFL has really changed, and I think it shows you that it really used to be about defense, and when you get eight quarterbacks drafted through the top three rounds, the most ever in the draft, when you get at least five receivers taken each of the first three rounds, again, the first seven players taken to the draft were offensive players. I mean, this has become an offensive league.
Brown, as you look back at the draft, and playing off of what he's talking about there, is there a hot take that pops to mind to you?
Jalen Waddle is your offensive rookie of the year.
Where's he playing next
year? Oh, he's a Miami Dolphin. That has nothing to do with it, though, Lance. They're going to use him in so many ways. They want him to be Tyreek Hill.
I just don't like your offensive coordinator. Chan Gailey's a nice guy.
He's gone. He's out.
Okay, so wait, who's offensive coordinator?
Yeah, they split it between Godsey and Studsville. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, maybe you get more aggressive. I mean, when you talk about 6.3 yards per attempt last year for Tua, now didn't have the weapons.
Yeah.
And the thing I would ask you, now that you get a Will Fuller, you've got a Jalen Waddle.
Devontae Parker's played well last year.
You know, running back, does Myles Gaskin, does that?
No, that's the problem. Miami doesn't have a running back. And maybe
you were hoping to grab one with that second pick.
Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe they would go Najee Harris, you know, but they ended up going with a pass rusher and Jalen Phillips, and I'm happy with that. But I just think Dunaway, the NFL is a copycat league. Everybody wants a Tyreek Hill now. And I think that's how they're going to try to use Jalen Waddle.
Okay, well, here's the betting odds in Vegas. Okay.
This is on offense, on rookie. Offense,
yeah, rookie of the year.
All right. This isn't rookie of the year. This is receiving yards.
Okay.
Jalen Waddle receiving yards over under 800.
That's a really good number. But again, now return yards are going to be part of this. Well, that's why.
Let me put this in perspective. Julio Jones had 771 last year. Look, abbreviated because he was hurt nine games. But Juju Smith played 15 games, had 831. 800 yards for Jalen Waddle as a rookie would be a nice season.
Yeah. I'm bringing this number up, though, Brown, because Waddle's betting number in Vegas is over under 800 yards. Devontae Smith in Philadelphia over under is 900. Jamar Chase in Cincinnati, his over-under is 1,100 yards. So if you're talking about him being the rookie of the year, Jamar Chase is going to have to be under his expectations, I think, to get there.
Well, that's a lot for Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase is automatically going to be your one. Yeah. Tyler Boyd will be your two. T. Higgins will be your three. You've got weapons now for Joe Burrow, but do you expect Miami to be better than Cincinnati? Because here's what I would say. Let's say that Jalen Waddle has 850 and seven or eight touchdowns, has a couple of electric returns. Miami goes 11-6. They make the postseason. You look at the Bengals, they end up going 7-10, and the numbers are actually better for Jamar Chase. Jalen Waddle was more of an impact, can still win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's not just a stat thing. I'm just saying the expectations for Jamar Chase is different in Vegas than it is for Waddle right now.
Is Smith, Smith's the number one in Philly, right?
Smith will. Jalen Reagor probably will be number two.
Yeah. I mean, so you're talking about Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith being number ones. I don't think Waddle's going to be Miami's number one.
I don't think Fuller's good enough to be a one.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think it may still be Devontae Parker, unfortunately. I mean, I think that may be your one. Now, that's not to say they won't play Waddle in a lot of places, and that's what they're wanting to do. But, I mean, how often does Tyreek Hill line up in the standard position of the number one receiver?
While we're talking about that, Najee Harris, by the way, over-under rushing yards is right at 1,000 yards. Hard to imagine in today's NFL that the rookie would go in and just bang out 100 right to start with, but the Steelers sometimes can get into that 1,000, not 100, 1,000 yards, which is not automatic in the NFL anymore.
No, at all.
You know, now James Conner is gone. You've still got Benny Snell there, but Najee is probably your primary guy. And you start to look at that number, you know, I'm seeing 975 for that over-under. Zeke last year was 979 for the Cowboys. Now, he had a down year. Alvin Kamara, who does a lot of different things outside of just being a primary ball carrier, he's catching a lot of balls out of the backfield, went 932. So right at 1,000 yards would be a nice, nice season for Harris.
I almost said Najee Harris was going to be your offensive rookie of the year because I think that's such a good fit for him in Pittsburgh.
I can't believe you guys aren't bringing up Tutu Atwell.
Well, you know.
Dave is in Hoover. He's next with us. Hey, Dave, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. Couple things I'll hang up and listen. First of all, you know, Julian Edelman was responsible for winning that Super Bowl against the Falcons. He didn't make that Superman catch laying on the ground with the ball bouncing off his helmet and trap it between his legs. You know, they reviewed it for about an hour and a half.
But hey, not just that one. I was at Super Bowl 53 being a Rams fan. He dominated that game. He was the MVP in Super Bowl 53.
Yeah, if he didn't make that catch, the game's over. Falcons won it. I mean, I'm like, you know, this can't be happening. But the other thing is, another one is, are you surprised Schwartz from Auburn fell as far as he did? And then the third one is, I see New England did not option Sonny Michel's fifth year. I guess they figured he's just too injury prone or whatever.
Well, they didn't want to guarantee him. Him that $4.5 million that they'd be on the hook for. They'll let this year play out, and if he ends up, you know, going in a different direction and playing a lot better, you can come back in and negotiate a longer-term contract.
What Dunaway is saying, that's the life of the running back now.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't guarantee them any sort of money. You got to negotiate when the deal's up.
Well, you know, Schwartz, though, he goes to what is an ascending organization right now in Cleveland, and I think a lot of people believe there was a chance that Schwartz could be worst case early second round, and for him to drop 91st overall in the third round, but I think it's a great location for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still a top 100 pick. I don't think that's a huge drop. I mean, you know, we define the draft really by first rounders and top 100, so he's in that top 100 slate. I do understand that it's technically the third round, and he was projected as a high second round guy, but a small drop from where he was projected, but to me, that's not bad. As long as you're a top 100 guy, that's not as big of a drop as some people you saw in this.
Well,
in this draft.
And you know, with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, Swartz is going to be going back to the Tyreek Hill model. That is going to be their guy, guy that will stretch the field for Baker Mayfield.
Everybody's getting one of those guys.
You know, and I've just got a feeling. I don't know about you guys. I think Swartz in this situation, when you've got two primaries in front of you and you've got a quarterback on the rise. Swartz is going to have those opportunities, a lot of one-on-one opportunities.
And with his speed, it's probably going to be on a slower guy, Lance.
And he's got a guy in Baker Mayfield that is not going to overthrow him every single
time.
That's
right.
To me, Swartz has a better NFL career than he did at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't disagree with that. He's going to be in a more sophisticated passing attack than what he played in the Malzahn offense. But that way, with his speed, he's rarely going to be on their number one corner, right? So you got to think they're going to be able, with his speed, to get him a pretty good mismatch to get him open deep.
It's all right, LT. It was not an easy trip on your recent vacation last week.
So I had one of my best friends out of Atlanta was celebrating his birthday, and he decided to celebrate his birthday in Cabo.
Oh, who doesn't?
You know, which I thought was a little extravagant, but at the same time, it was a milestone birthday, so I felt
another reason why Chuck E. Cheese is failing.
That's probably.
Keep it local, Lance. Keep it local.
You know, I was torn on this thing. You guys remember the passport situation. Shout out to Tommy Tuberville's office for getting the passport expedited. It wasn't a special favor, by the way. They do this for all citizens. So if you need your passport expedited, they can help you out.
Yeah.
If you want to DM me at any time, I can tell you exactly how to do this. So we went through the situation to get the passport expedited. Got that on Monday last week. Was supposed to fly out on Thursday. Was really torn on whether or not to go. Decided to go. So my flight was leaving here at 1:10 on Thursday. So I get to the airport at noon. 1 o'clock comes, the flight has been pushed back for mechanical issues to 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sitting at the airport bar waiting. 2 o'clock comes, it's been pushed back to 3 o'clock. Three o'clock becomes 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock becomes 5 o'clock. Five o'clock becomes 6 o'clock. Flight gets totally canceled.
Right.
So I'm at the point now that I've got to go back, get my bag, and try to figure out if I'm going to fly out Friday because Thursday was no longer an option. And I'm supposed to come back on Sunday. Was taking yesterday off to recover. Well, they've got this villa until Monday. So I've got the option now to still stay 3 nights. So they reroute me to fly out Friday morning, 7:30 to Denver. So I get up at 5:30, leave, get to the airport at 6, get on a 7:30 flight heading to Denver, which, you know, if you're going to Denver, you're going north, obviously, northwest.
That's away from Cabo on my map, Lance, but I'm no pilot.
It is way out of the way.
Okay.
So going to, and this is the only, one of the few problems I feel about living in Birmingham is our airport. No direct flights.
Uh-huh.
So we get to Denver. Got about a 30-minute delay in Denver. Not a big deal. I finally get to have some cocktails because I didn't realize in the COVID.
It's 5:30 in the morning.
I didn't know in the COVID era, there's no cocktails on the flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't serve.
Like nothing? They serve nothing?
Like nothing. And you guys know I don't fly well, so I was extremely nervous. So I land, and I start getting double after double. I've only got an hour to kill.
Double.
I did. Just
give me
full
hard.
Admission. And I'm glad I did because of this. I get on the flight, leaving Denver to go to Cabo. Again, there was a slight delay because they were having a mechanical issue. We get on the flight. We're about 45 minutes, an hour into the flight. We have left Denver, and flight attendant comes on. Don't want to concern anybody on board right now, but we are going to have to drop the landing gear. We've got to do a test mid-flight.
Yeah, don't worry.
You guys know that noise. Yeah, it's normally a noise that I like to hear because takeoff is my scariest part. The landing is not as bad because I feel like, and this is probably completely wrong, at least the pilot knows that he's going down and it's got a place to land. So that noise back and forth, they're doing this for a few minutes, then silence for about 10 minutes. Then they come back on. We have got to return to the Denver airport. We've got a mechanical situation where our braking system is not working.
Wow.
And so it's going to work better in Denver?
That's true. Why not just risk it in Cabo? Well,
trust me, I was at the back of the plane quickly. But
yeah.
Then she says, look, we've got an emergency braking system. This is not going to be a problem. Goes off. I look at the lady next to me. She's probably 60. She's praying. I've really never seen that on a flight before.
What, somebody praying?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I get up, I go to the back, and I ask the flight attendant, I said, so can you tell me exactly what is going on? She said, I'm going to be honest with you. I've done this for a long time, and I was really concerned when they were doing the flight, you know, the landing gear in and out. I've never been on a flight where they've done this.
So a flight attendant tells you that?
Yeah, she said, but I can tell you that I feel really good. We are completely safe with the backup braking system. So I just go back to my seat, and I'm sitting there. I really don't know what to think.
Pretty harder, lady.
Kind of in shock.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, when you're talking about the backup braking system, this was a braking system not good enough to win the job in spring camp.
That's right.
Yeah, it is QB2 for a reason.
Right. We've had an injury.
Now, and she also said this. She said, the reason we're going back to Denver is if we land in Cabo, there's a chance this entire crew, which I thought was a little selfish, get stuck in Cabo, and we're not able to take back off from Cabo. We feel better about our mechanics at one of our hubs in Denver getting this problem alleviated, which I guess that's a legitimate concern.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
So we turn around. We head back to Denver. I'm so frustrated by the travels at this point that I'm about to tap out because I don't even know what time I'm going to get to Cabo. I was supposed to land in Cabo at 2 o'clock local time, which Cabo is mountain time. I always thought it was Pacific. I had never been there. But just based on the geography of it, would seem like it's central. It's mountain time. So we get back to Denver. When we land, we deplane, and they tell us at the gate, we don't know exactly what we're going to do.
Wait, you skipped over the landing? Tell me what it feels like when you land.
With emergency brakes.
Well, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen. But again, she reassured we were going to be fine. So
do you have pillows over your face in your lap? Anything going on like that?
She told me that, too. She was like, we feel so confident we're not going to do an emergency landing.
Okay.
I guess that made me feel better.
Right.
But I still am not sure once we hit tarmac what that – because you guys know that just doing everything to pull the plane back to slow it from hitting another plane, building, mountain, whatever the obstruction is.
Into the runway.
Interstate, upstairs.
Right.
So we hit, you know, I'm bracing. We end up stopping. I feel really good for a second and relieved, but I'm stuck in Denver. So I automatically Google – you know, Denver to Birmingham Drive. And I think it was 36 hours.
I mean, that was one of the text threads we had going. Lance was considering driving home from Denver.
Yeah.
I know Lance doesn't like traveling in the air.
And you know, I don't like driving.
I know.
Hard to get back on that plane, though, after that.
Yeah.
No, it was really difficult. So they deplane us, listen out for an announcement. We're going to try to figure this out shortly. 10 minutes later, they come on. If you were on flight number blah 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 going to Cabo,
you lucky son of a gun.
Head to gate 25. We have got a new plane waiting on you. So I get to gate 25. Hey, it's gonna be about an hour. We're getting this figured out. So what do? I run to the bar because knowing there's not cocktails on the flight, I need to rejuice.
Load me up.
Yes, and I was doing doubles again. By the way, a double bourbon at the airport is $28.
Really? They're not cheap there?
No. So I have a couple of those waiting. Get back on the flight. This flight is pretty smooth until we're landing. A lot of turbulence. At that point, I really didn't care. I was just so frustrated and so motivated to finally get there. So I get to Cabo. I show up at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And I end up leaving Sunday morning at 9 a.m. coming back.
Yep.
My total travel time was 27 hours with this airline. I was in Cabo for 30 hours.
Yeah. But of course, Rockstar, if you're going
and the passport, so was it all worth it?
Yeah. It was a fun 30 hours.
So if you're going to call anybody on a Sunday morning with this question, hey, Dunaway, what do you think? Should I stay another day? I've got, you know, maybe some travel issues to get back, blah, 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 blah.
Hell to the no.
I was like, are you asking me about the Tuesday show? There's nothing going on. Heck yeah, stay. If you can stay, stay. He ended up coming back.
Well, yeah, Dunaway said, look, you only live once. You're in Cabo. You need to stay.
I feel like I'm the guy you call for a yes answer. You're calling me for a reason.
Well, I was just...
With all the traveling there, did you have any problems coming back?
No, not really. Just customs.
Wow.
You know, took absolutely forever.
This does not look like a real passport.
But,
Mr.
you know,
Taylor.
I started to think, you know, when am I going to go to Cabo again? This place was completely paid for. It was a beautiful place. You know, everybody's sitting around having breakfast. Why don't you just stay? So I called this airline to see if I could actually rearrange a flight for Monday. And I was just going to take Tuesday off because I needed that day to recover. So I wouldn't have been here today. So the airline was on one of these 30-minute waits. We'll call you back. Waiting, you know, you're 37th in line or whatever. So they end up calling me back. I'm already in the driver's car heading towards the airport because if I'm going to make my flight, I've got to go on and go that direction. So they call me, and I'm about to rebook, and I get disconnected.
Oh.
And they didn't call me back. And so there was no reason to call them back because it was going to be another 30 minutes. So I just pushed forward, and I came back.
Your flight back to Birmingham, do you want first class brakes or no brakes?
How are the brakes on this one?
Let's just roll the dice.
Okay, so I think you guys have been to no rock star has been to an STK with me, a steakhouse that likes to play loud music.
So overrated.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
No, they are. But that was the restaurant, the only restaurant that was serving Sunday morning in Cabo. And they had one of these, you know, boozy brunches or whatever. And I don't know if you could hear the music in the background when I called you. But after having a couple of mimosas there, I was kind of ready to stay, but I just couldn't do it. I mean,
you made the right call.
I'm still worn down from 30 hours in Cabo. I cannot even imagine one more day in Cabo.
Hey, let's do four downs here. LT's got them for us today. It's brought to you by Vulcan Tires, the place to get four new tires when you need them. Got to get my daughter by there here soon to put new tires on her ride.
Hey, the next time you need one or a new set of tires, do yourself a favor. Stop by. See the guys at Vulcan Tire and Auto, locally owned and operated with a wide selection of the top tire brands available. The guys there, they can get you set, get you safely back out on the road. Four locations in Birmingham. For more information, you can always visit them online. Go to VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
Very draft related here, but if I asked you who starts a game first, Trey Lance with San Francisco or Justin Fields with the Chicago Bears?
You know, Field Yates was on with us earlier, and he said, and I was a little surprised at this, Justin Fields day one starter, that you say the nice things about Andy Dalton because you have to, but it's going to be Justin Fields. I trust Field Yates there. I guess I'll go Justin Fields.
I mean, there's no way you rush Trey Lance out. You go Justin Fields first. Trey Lance, you can't put him out there because it's going to make you look like you made a mistake if you put him out there too early. And that's why you hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, Trey Lance had 17 collegiate starts. And to me, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback who's 24-8 in the NFL as a starting quarterback, a guy that's been to a Super Bowl. I've said this, and I'm getting redundant, but Jimmy G is going to have a career year this year. I don't think Trey Lance sees the field unless there's another injury, which is a potential with Jimmy Garoppolo. On the other side, if you're going to trade up and you're Ryan Pace and you're Matt Nagy, and you know that the future of this organization is Justin Fields. I mean, to me, Andy Dalton, where he is right now, he's a number two in the NFL. Yeah. So I think you've got to go Justin Fields.
But these situations are so different. San Francisco's got a playoff roster with a proven quarterback who's led them to a Super Bowl already there. So Trey Lance can learn. They don't have any of that in Chicago. So Justin Fields has to go out
there. A lot further to go.
Yeah.
Second down.
Got a feeling I know where Brown will go on this next one, but more touchdown combination in 2021, Tua to Jalen Waddle or Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase?
I'm going to take Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase.
I think I'll stick with Waddle. I think Waddle's going to be your offensive rookie of the year. And I think Miami's going to, I mean, they're going to throw it a lot. I don't think they're going to run the ball much. They don't have a running back really of note unless they continue to find a way to address that, you know, with a trade or something like that. So I'll go Miami here.
But I did say when you were not here yesterday that, you know, I thought Miami was one of the winners in the offseason here. And I like where that roster is. And I know everyone's, you know, clamoring for a New England Patriots rebirth in that division. But I think Miami is knocking on the door of being the top team in that division.
Well, I think Buffalo has just gotten so much better. That's the only thing that scares me. I do think Miami's a playoff team this year. I kind of lean Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. If I asked you this, and
that Miami defense is nasty.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, I saw it up close and personal where they were turning the Rams over every other play.
It reflects their coach. I mean, that's what Flores is. Yeah.
And say what you want about the Buccaneers. That's how they won the Super Bowl.
Right now, if Matt Rhule and the Carolina organization went to Cincinnati and said, we will give you Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and there's no way Cincinnati would do it, right?
No.
But can you imagine reuniting Burrow, Chase, and Joe Brady?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be exciting to watch, wouldn't it?
Whole team back together.
It'd be easier to move Brady, wouldn't it?
Yeah, third probably. Down.
Okay, more surprising. Duke had more players drafted this year, 4, than the whole Mountain West Conference. Or the fact that the Missouri Valley Conference had 4 players drafted more than the whole Mountain West.
North Dakota State is in the Missouri Valley, are they?
I thought they were in the Big Sky, weren't they?
Yeah, I think they were.
I don't really know where they play. So the Mo Valley had 4?
Mo Valley had 4. Mountain West had 3. Duke had 4. Mountain West had 3.
I'm going to say it surprised me that Duke, with the season they had this past year, had 4 players drafted. That's what surprised me the most, more than the Mountain West.
Yeah, that's probably it, though. The Missouri Valley, that's pretty dang random, man. I think I will go with Duke. Your Missouri Valley, I was pulling it up real quick.
Yeah, man, I came across some weird stats from this draft, but, I mean, there's some things that blow me away. That was one of them, or two of them.
Your Missouri Valley is South Dakota. Okay, we're wrong. It is North Dakota State. That's sorry, Jim. South Dakota State, Missouri State, North Dakota, North Dakota State, Southern Illinois, Northern Iowa, South Dakota, Illinois State, Western Illinois, and Youngstown. That's a good conference.
Yeah, obviously their basketball is different than their football.
Yeah, that's a dang good football conference on that level.
Fourth down.
Another one that blew me away, but more surprising, BYU had 5 players selected in this year's draft, or Michigan State had 0.
You know, I had this stat. I don't want to hijack 4 downs here, but right. I had this stat. Michigan State had gone 80 consecutive years without having a guy drafted.
Yeah, I think it was the 4th longest.
It was the 2nd longest. Do you know who the 2 that have the longest are?
I think now Florida and...
It is not Florida.
I'm going to say it is Notre Dame and USC.
It is USC and Michigan with 83 consecutive years now. USC and Michigan have had a player drafted.
So Florida is the only other school with USC and Michigan that have had a player selected in every draft of the common era
draft. Yep. Florida, USC, and Michigan have had a player drafted now every year. It was Michigan State, too. So I guess I would say that surprised me the most. I mean, Michigan State to get nobody drafted at all? I know it wasn't a good team this year, but, I mean, nobody at all. That's crazy.
Mel Tucker, man, has got his work cut out there.
Clearly.
Yep.
But that's on D'Antonio.
Oh,
there.
It's not
that's,
his fault.
Yeah, that's no, Donald Tucker.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, Tucker's only been there 1 year. He's got to hit the portal and the recruiting trail and change the talent level there in East Lansing. That is 4 downs brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires.
Hey, the team at Vulcan Tire and Automotive, they feel it's important for you to know that they don't employ any salespeople or technicians that are incentivized with commissions. When you're getting your vehicle serviced, the team is only incentivized to take care of you and your vehicle. That doesn't happen everywhere, but it does at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. 4 locations. For more information, VulcanTireandAuto.com.
Okay, 3 things quickly here before we head to our next break. First off, no surprise here, but the actual number itself of where they jumped to, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, so souvenir sales and jersey sales and t-shirt sales you would expect to be up. But according to Fanatics, they went from 28th in the NFL to number 1 overall.
Brady is a big part of that, obviously.
Tom Brady is the number one. Tom Brady's the number 1 selling jersey and everything out there, according to Fanatics.
And I bet you get a lot of Gronk jerseys, too, because he's just such a character.
I don't know if we can take this a little deeper. It was a topic that I had. Has a city ever embraced an athlete more than Boston has Tom Brady? And the reason I ask this, because when you look at who was buying this merchandise, Tampa Bay was the number 1 market, but Boston was number 2.
Buying Buccaneers Brady jerseys.
And you guys know how big Boston fans, how much allegiance they've got to their teams, whether it's the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, or the Patriots. And Tom Brady could have stayed in New England. And with him leaving, New England was a bad team last year. And with Tom Brady there, they're probably still a playoff team. But these fans chose to still support Tom Brady and buy this Bucs gear. That's how much they love him. I can't think of another. You guys give me another example. Maybe Los Angeles with Magic Johnson. Maybe Chicago with Michael Jordan.
Well, you got to think of a guy that went and played elsewhere, though, too. I mean...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This might be the top model for anything we've ever seen.
And I guess Jordan went to the Wizards, but...
Yeah, but for your point, Manning, people in Indianapolis were not buying Manning Broncos jerseys. No Peyton Manning Bronco jerseys.
No, back to a name Rockstar likes to drop. I think they would have rather purchased another Curtis Painter away jersey than to get a Bronco jersey.
Good haircut.
So having to think of players that went somewhere else and then buying that jersey... of where they went somewhere else. Like in Cleveland, I don't remember anybody buying Miami Heat LeBron jerseys.
No, they were burning.
They were burning them. Absolutely.
Yeah, like in, they were burning the Cavalier
ones.
I think one of the most beloved players that we've ever seen is King Griffey Jr. And, you know, when he left and went to Cincinnati after his long tenure at Seattle, I seriously doubt Seattle Mariners fans went out and bought Cincinnati red jerseys.
I'll tell you this.
That is very different.
I remember, this is completely random, but I think it goes with what you're saying right here, though he's not on the level of some of the guys we mentioned. I remember when Sid Bream came from Pittsburgh to Atlanta, the first game they played back up in Three Rivers Stadium, these Pirates fans gave him a standing ovation to the point that they had to call timeout, and Sid was teared up, and they had to give him time to compose himself. And then he got a base hit, and the place went insane. I mean, that was – it was Braves and Pirates, and they were cheering like that for Sid Bream. I think he was beloved that way.
Second thing I wanted to get out here, Amazon Prime will take over Thursday Night Football sooner than expected. It's going to be not this upcoming season, but the season after that, the 2022 season.
Oh, next year delivery.
So what, what that means for all of you that love to watch the Thursday night NFL game, you will have to figure out, technology-wise, how to get the app on your TV or to project from your smart device onto your TV, because it will not be a television alternative. It will be streaming only on Amazon Prime.
I've watched an NFL game. They did one this year that was Amazon Prime.
Yeah, San Francisco and Arizona.
I watched it too.
And it took me a while to find it, believe it or not. I do have Amazon because of that show 000, so I've got it. But, I mean, this is a little off-putting and upsetting if you spend your hard-earned money on NFL Sunday Ticket.
Well, it's the Thursday night game, though.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the Thursday night game, you had Sunday Ticket, but you had whatever your DirecTV, Charter, whatever your thing was, you were able to get
free,
the game for free.
Yeah.
It was on the NFL Network.
So, I mean, this is more cost you're
on Fox.
You're taking on.
Yeah, it's pay-per-view. I mean, it is modern-day pay-per-view. This is
so for, let's just say that it's your Dolphins or your Bucks or your Lions, and you've already paid for NFL Sunday Ticket. Now they happen to be playing two Thursday night games. You've got to pay additionally. I mean, how much more can guys take on to watch your team play?
I don't know. I think Amazon Prime's $14 a month.
Something like that.
Yeah.
16 games they'll have on Amazon Prime, not this year, but next year. So you'll need to figure out the device. When I was growing up, and some of you will remember this, I believe it was WENN, Wind Radio, when I listened to that.
107.7.
They would pay your house note, your car note, or your electrical bill.
I remember this.
Right? That was their giveaway. To show you where we are in the world, Ryan Seacrest, the other morning, as I get a replay in the afternoons, but he was doing a...
Ryan's Rose is the best thing he does. I find it hard to believe sometimes. Little man loves it.
It is fantastic, but... They give away now on an almost daily basis streaming services for a year. Your favorite.
That's the giveaway.
Yeah, your favorite streaming service for a year.
So you have to log out of your friends to actually get your free streaming service.
So when we come back, we'll give away your favorite streaming service for a year.
That's a pretty cool idea, though.
Yeah.
So I can, like, if I want Amazon Prime. Okay. Yeah.
All right. You've won.
I don't know which one I pick. Ryan. Yeah, I don't know which one I pick. I think I end up using Amazon Prime more than any of them. It seems like movies are more readily available there.
I'm more Netflix. I'll give Netflix credit. The original stuff they kick out is nonsense.
Yeah.
Plus, they package it to where they're always feeding you that top 10 ranking. Say what you will, but I think it has struck a chord with us sports fans. Oh, well, this is the top 10. If this is number 5, it must be pretty good.
No, they do that well. I'm with you. And I'll tell you another thing Netflix does well that Amazon, I don't think, does is as soon as you like scroll over on that thing, they start showing you the trailer. Yeah. And you'll get hooked in and it'll just start. Yeah. You don't have to click anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And some trailers are actual scenes from the, like, you're, what? I'm watching a scene.
I know, but it's hooked me. There's numerous times it's hooked me in. I'm like, okay, I'll give that a chance. That trailer was pretty interesting.
Yeah, but I think I would choose Amazon Prime to
Well, definitely now, and if I'm getting NFL games.
All right. Well, one more thing I wanted to do, and this is off of social media. Hats off to one of my favorites of all time, Will Smith. Did you see what he did yesterday?
I was blown away he did it, but I loved it.
Will Smith, and he wasn't quite a banana hammock, but he had on a tight pair of swim trunks, and he said, I'm not in the best shape of my life. In fact, I am in the worst shape of my life. But he goes full picture of him in his swimwear. Looking at his more than dad bod and the pandemic, he put on weight like 61% of Americans. And I thought it was a great photo, and hats off to Will Smith. I've been their brother.
Yeah, he's got some slippers on. It looks like he maybe is in his backyard. Some of the tightest shorts, almost cycling shorts, and just a zip-up hoodie that is revealing body. And the quote is, I'm going to be real with y'all. I'm in the worst shape of my life.
That's awesome.
And he's smiling, and he looks like, I don't want to say chewed gum. He looks like most dads look
right now. He does. I see it more in his face, though, really.
Yep. But there are times I would take his body in a heartbeat right there, even at the worst shape of his life. But if you look back at Will Smith movies, he has
been in shape.
Yeah.
I mean, the treadmill scene in I Am Legend, I mean, he's completely shredded.
What percentage?
And Ali as well.
What percentage of people will take that body plus that bank account? Almost 100.
Signing up now. Yeah.